Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF, and it was on this date back in 1814 during the War of 1812. British forces invaded Washington, D.C., setting fire to the Capitol, which was still under construction, and the White House, as well as other public buildings. So I thought now was as good a time as any to come on and talk a little bit about the War of 1812, which is what I personally consider the only war America to have ever really lost. Korea was kind of a stalemate. Vietnam, we just pulled out of too early to really make a decisive victory. And Iraq and Afghanistan are just painfully long ongoing conflicts at this point. But the War of 1812 saw the burning of the White House and the Capitol, and that is a loss in my books. Remember, if you like these little history segments that I do, you can check them out online at kggfradio.com. Just click on the community tab and go down to On Demand, then find a history segment you're interested in, and you can listen to one of those. We've covered topics as far as Ernest Hemingway all the way down to the Korean War, so there's sure to be something you're interested in on there. The War of 1812, though, saw America taking on the greatest naval power in the world at that time, Great Britain. The war, I think, had three major causes. There was trade restrictions that came from the ongoing war between France and Britain at the time. The British were capturing American seamen and forcing them to work for the British Navy, and America had a general desire to sort of expand its territory beyond its existing borders. But at the outset of the 19th century, Britain was locked into a really long and, at this point, bitter and bloody conflict with Napoleon Bonaparte's France. In an attempt to cut off supplies from reaching the enemy, both sides attempted to block the United States from trading with the other country. Britain passed a couple of laws that said that you'd have to get a license if you wanted to trade with France or French colonies. And they also started basically kidnapping Americans off of ships and forcing them to serve on behalf of the British. Now, at this time in place was the Embargo Act, which was Thomas Jefferson's sort of attempt to make America as independent as possible, but that was not a very popular act and was actually repealed at this time by Congress, who replaced it with what they called the Non-Intercourse Act, which really just specifically prohibited trade with Britain and France, but that didn't really last very long, so they changed it just a little bit in a couple of years to say that they would support one side or the other if they would agree to trade with them. It ended up working out that France started hinting that it would do some trading with America, so America agreed to embargo Britain and not do any more trading with them, which really just made Britain quite furious. After Britain had some contact with some Native Americans in the Northwest Territory, Congress started putting more and more pressure on President James Madison to formally declare war on Britain. And come June of 1812, he did formally declare war on Britain. Though Congress ultimately voted for the war, both the House and Senate were bitterly divided on the issue. Most Western and Southern congressmen supported the war, while Federalists, especially New Englanders who relied heavily on trade with Britain, accused war advocates of using the excuse of maritime rights to promote their expansionist agenda, basically saying that they were just looking for any excuse to go to war so that they could push into British colonies and territory. In order to make an early strike against Great Britain, the U.S. forces almost immediately attacked Canada. That was then a British colony. American officials were overly optimistic about the invasion's success, however, especially given how unprepared U.S. troops were at the time. On the other side of the border, they faced a well-managed defense. The United States suffered a humiliating defeat after Canadian and British forces chased American forces across the Canadian border, scaring them into surrendering Detroit without even firing any shots. Shortly after that, though, things did look a little bit better for the United States in the West. The Battle of Lake Erie placed the Northwest Territory firmly under American control, which allowed us to subsequently retake Detroit with a victory in the Battle of Thames. Meanwhile, the U.S. Navy had been able to score a couple of victories against the much more powerful Royal Navy, mostly because they were distracted with France, but with the defeat of Napoleon's armies in April of 1814, Britain was really able to turn its full attention to the United States And at that point, large numbers of troops started arriving and British forces started raiding America, including the Chesapeake Bay, and moved on to the U.S. capital, capturing Washington, D.C. on August 24th of 1814 and burning most of those government buildings, including the Capitol and the White House, to the ground. The incredible Dolly Madison actually saved a lot of important state papers from British capture or destruction, including a portrait of George Washington that is still in the White House to this day. Some more interesting American history from there. On September 13th, 1814, Baltimore's Fort McHenry withstood 25 hours of bombardment from the British Navy. The following morning, the fort's soldiers hoisted an enormous American flag, a sight that inspired Francis Scott Key to write a poem he entitled The Star-Spangled Banner. They set it to the tune of an old English drinking song and it would later be adopted as, you know, the national anthem. British forces subsequently left the Chesapeake Bay and began gathering their efforts for a campaign against New Orleans. But by that time, peace talks had already begun at Ghent, which is modern-day Belgium. Britain moved for an armistice after the failure of the assault on Baltimore. In negotiations that followed, the United States gave up on its demands to end a British capture of American seamen, and Britain promised to leave Canadians' borders alone. They also abandoned efforts to create an Indian state in the Northwest. On December 24th, 1814, commissioners signed the Treaty of Ghent, which would be ratified the following February, and on January 8th, 1815, unaware that peace talks had been concluded, British forces mounted a major attack on New Orleans, only to meet with defeat at the hands of future U.S. President Andrew Jackson. And actually, the War of 1812 saw the start to a lot of American presidents. Andrew Jackson, John Quincy Adams, James Monroe, and William Henry Harrison were all veterans of the War of 1812. Though the War of 1812 was remembered as a kind of minor conflict in the United States and Britain, it looms larger for Canadians and, of course, remembered by historians, or at least some of them, as one of the only wars that America has lost. The war also marked the demise of the Federalist Party, which is politically important, which had been accused of being unpatriotic for its anti-war stance. Perhaps most importantly, though, the war's outcome really boosted national self-confidence and encouraged the growing spirit of American expansion that would shape the better part of the 19th century. Well, this has been me talking just a bit about the War of 1812. Remember, if you like these little history segments I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Click on the community tab and go down to On Demand and find a history segment you're interested in. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.